Yesterday, President Trump continued to mock Senator Elizabeth Warren by calling her Pocahontas, but this time he did it in an Oval Office ceremony meant to honor Native American code breakers from World War II in front of a huge portrait of President Andrew Jackson, who signed the Indian Removal Act in 1830 and oversaw the Trail of Tears, the forced move to Oklahoma during which more than 4,000 Native Americans died. Mark Trahant is a journalism professor at the University of North Dakota, former editor of the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, and a member of the Shoshone-Bannock tribe. He joins us by Skype. Mark, your thoughts?
Well, it was a kind of par for the course insult. Really, it's been going on since the campaign. In fact, the first time he used the slur was in North Dakota when he was championing the oil industry. This is the first time he did it at the White House when a group supposedly honoring Native Americans.
Well, remind us why this is such a slur. Pocahontas, the daughter of a Native American chief who, legend holds, saved the life of Captain John Smith by laying her head on his when he was about to be executed, later kidnapped by the English. What does that mean to your ear when he says Pocahontas?
Well, she has a remarkable story, and it's one worth telling. But the way he did it was to denigrate her name and to use it as a slur. It would be the same if somebody used any historical name and reduced it to a caricature.
Well, and what do you think of Elizabeth Warren's claim? This, of course, came up when she was running for the Senate. She said, "I never asked my mom for documentation. We always thought my mother's family was part Cherokee, part Delaware, and that's why my parents had to elope." She only checked that off when she had her tenure at Harvard. She never used it on any applications.
Indian identity is very complicated anyway, and really the standard is citizenship, and clearly she doesn't meet that test. And so for her, I think it's best if she just let it rest and say, yes, I have these family stories, but there is no evidence to back it up, and move on.
What about the Andrew Jackson portrait? Could have been just an oversight on the part of the Trump administration, but what did that say to you, this huge portrait looming behind this event?
Andrew Jackson, in so many ways, is representing the complexity that is America. And Donald Trump has certainly made him prominent. This narrative of Jackson, of destruction of Indian country, is one that comes up a lot. And you would think in this context, the president would have just done it somewhere else.
Was this a dog whistle? Or maybe as damning, revealing that there's no one in the White House with this cultural awareness who would have pointed this out?
At the very least, there's no one at the White House with cultural awareness. But I think it was intentional. I think they do want to show Jackson as this great commander. I mean, it was so clearly prominent that I think it was by design. You look at the public policy applications of this, and there's already a really disinclination to listen to tribal governments.
Well, and there are millions of Native American children who are affected by the fact that the CHIP program for the poor has not been extended. This is health care for kids. Is that part of your sense here? You've written about this, that the whole Pocahontas controversy, although important, takes over any other narrative.
Exactly. I mean, it's so easy to get an outrage over something like this. It's so expected. But what we're now seeing is these real public policy applications that are not getting the same kind of debate, especially in the media. One of the things that with healthcare that's just so amazing is that when the Indian Health Service runs out of money, it starts using what's called a life and limb standard, that you don't get care unless you're actually threatened with life and limb. And you can imagine what that means for ordinary people going to see the doctor who don't meet that test.
Yeah. And by the way, this fight between the president and the senator, it's really a proxy fight over the Consumer Finance Protection Board. She helped create it when she was a lawyer at Harvard. He has been, well, you know, we have two people running it right now. Your sense of that this moment for code talkers became a proxy for another political battle?
I mean, that's just one of the political battles. I think he's also trying to make sure that she's not a legitimate candidate for president in 3 years.
You mentioned children's health. What else do you think is important for people to know about Native nations?
You know, this country has made extraordinary promises through treaties that really set a high standard for what its test should be. And yet no Congress, no president has ever come close. And now we're going backwards. Instead of funding the Indian health system or funding education, the Congress is saying we can't afford it. And if you can't afford the promises that are at the core of this country, it really begs the question what kind of country we live in. One other thing, I just wish the press was more open to narratives beyond these ones that we know will go viral and start actually getting out and reporting on Indian country. And part of the problem is there's just not enough Native American representation in the media.
Mark Trahant, again, a member of the Shoshone-Bannock tribe, also a journalism professor at the University of North Dakota. Thank you so much.
Happy to do it.
And to Mark's point about the media, Indian Country Today, a weekly newspaper run by the Oneida Nation, went dark in September. The CEO said it just wasn't sustainable. The paper's assets were donated to the Congress of American Indians. That is quite a loss.